Always room for more. The more the merrier, we always say, right? Sunday. What woman? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. After church on Sunday, we went over to Moody's, Coney Island, over at Wales and Tracy. And the waitress, as we were checking out, she asked us if we were coming from church. And Beth said, yeah. And she goes, because I just moved here from California and I've been looking for a church. So we didn't really stay and testify with her too much. But I did give her one of my business cards, one of the cards for the church. So let's just pray for her. Let's pray that the Lord will move in her heart. And maybe one day she'll be here. And the Lord's moving in ways that I never anticipated. He's brought people back into my life. Old friends, old family, former family. And it's funny because I've been questioning the way the Lord is moving in my life. And one night I'd been praying and studying and asking the Lord to just show me and reveal things unto me and open my eyes like I always ask him to do. And I studied Job. And in the last chapter of Job, where it talks about how he gets everything back that he has lost, he gets back his children and his animals and all of his things. It also said in there, there's a line in there that says that all of his friends returned unto him as well. And I was just like very floored and humbled, obviously. I'm always humbled when the Lord moves his mighty hand in my life, and especially when he allows me to see it. Amen. So we don't always see the way the Lord works in our lives and the things that he does, but to know that he actually really does hear our prayers and he actually really does know who we are, it's amazing. Part of the reason why I played the opening song that we sang, or the worship song that we sang tonight, because in there, a line within that song, it says, there's nothing like the fellowship with those who love the Lord. And, you know, we all hang around after church. We're all pretty laid back. But the message tonight is a little bit different, where we can apply it a little bit differently in areas of our lives. Because when it comes to church, I think we all would agree that we would rather be here all day Sunday long. All day long, Sunday. Singing, praising, worshiping, eating, having fun, visiting. We're all like family here. And it's a good time. If the pews were a little more comfortable, we probably would never leave. If they were like lazy boys, we'd be here all the time. As Aaron sprawls out on the dirty floor. But, you know, this is an atmosphere where you just feel so much. I know I do. I feel so much love in this room. I feel it from the Lord. I feel it from the Holy Spirit. And I feel it from everyone that's here. And I think, you know, I would hope that everybody feels the same way. So when we're here and we're worshiping the Lord and we're receiving his message, it's easy for us to relax, listen to the word, receive it into our hearts. We might get tired. We might think, oh, when's she going to shut up? At least I didn't get no amen on that. But we're focused here. Now, with the distractions that go on out in the world, it could be another story. And that's the areas of our lives that we hope that the Lord would continue to work in and change. The message tonight, and a question I have for you, for everyone that is here in this room that's paying attention, is what's the hurry? What is the hurry? What are we in such a hurry about? What are we in such a hurry for? If you've ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, there's a line in that movie where one of the inmates, that's an older guy, has been in there most of his life, he gets out and he writes the former inmates a letter, and he said the world went and got itself in a big old hurry. Because when he went in there, there was no automobiles. When he comes out, there's automobiles, you know, everybody's buzzing around. The world went and got itself in a big old hurry. What is the hurry? Do you ever hear people say, man, I wish it was Friday? They're saying this on Monday. Wish it was Friday. Really? Okay. We all operate by the same clock. So you expect the clock to go faster to Friday and then what? Slow down for the next 2 days? You really think that's possible? You know? Come on, now let's think about these things. I always say to people when they say that to me, don't wish your life away. What are we in a hurry for? We're in a hurry for our children to grow up. We might be curious at what they're going to sound like. I know I was with Charlene, wanting to know what her voice was going to sound like. There's a thing that they say that when you're raising children, you can't wait for them to walk and talk, and once they do, you tell them to sit down and shut up. We're in a hurry. We're in a hurry all the time. A lot of us live from paycheck to paycheck. Unfortunately, maybe for other reasons, maybe, you know, but we do. So you're wanting to get to the next paycheck so you can pay the bills. Why? Aren't they going to come again the next month? Why are we in a hurry? What is the hurry? Why can we not slow down enough like we do on Sunday when we are here to hear the Lord's word? To enjoy the blessings and the days that God gives us. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Psalms chapter 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. How often, when you find yourself in a trial, do you just want to get out of it? Do you just want to skip from the beginning to the end just so you can get past it, right? Why? We know there's a lesson in everything that we do, everything that happens to us, and every way that the Lord moves in our lives. What about if we miss something? What about if there's something that God really wants us to learn? But in our rush to get through it, we miss a blessing. The word is filled with examples of those who believed God and commenced in prayer. They always turned to the Lord in prayer because they believed in him. Paul and Silas experienced the same thing in that ancient Philippian prison when all seemed hopeless. How many times when you're in a hopeless situation do you turn to the Lord and wait for his answer? Stop and wait. Not physically stand here and say, okay, I'm not budging from this spot until you speak to me, Lord. But maybe you're faced with a decision, a life-altering decision that you've prayed about, that you've surrendered to the Lord. But have you waited for an answer, or have you gotten in a hurry and taken the matters into your own hands? How hard is it not to do that when you're bound and determined to wait on God, to wait on his answer so that you know you're following his lead rather than taking matters into your own hands? We know that nothing of our will shall prosper. Only things of the Lord's will prospers. Only the things of the Lord's will last. But we're in such a hurry to get from point A to point B to point C. What do we miss in between? Did you miss that beautiful sunrise? Did you miss the random act of kindness that your son just gave to a complete stranger because you're in a hurry to get out of the store? Why are we in such a hurry? People are in hurries to find love, to have children, to grow up. Why? To die? That's part of it. But to get to heaven, I'd go in a minute. But there's so many things that the Lord allows us to see and do while we are here to be a blessing unto others. Bless you. We're called to turn to the Lord in prayer. We are called to sing his praises when he blesses us. Now, it was from the deep that Jonah cried for help, and the prodigal prophet called out from his distress, choking on salt water. Think of how you are when you're in a trial. Jonah was in the belly of a whale, choking on salt water. He could have gave up. He could have drowned. But he prayed to God and waited for God's answer. Is there any way by his own means that he could have got out of the belly of that whale? What's he going to do? Jump on his stomach to try to get him to throw up? Throw up, throw up, throw up, throw up. No, it didn't work. In the word Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and thou heardest my voice." When we are stuck in the belly of a whale, in a situation that we have no control over, no matter how hard we hurry, no matter how hard we try, the only way we're going to get out of it is by the Lord's hand. Amen. The only way we can get out of it is by his hand. There are a lot of situations in our lives that we have absolutely no control over. We're in a hurry to find love. We're in a hurry to grow old. We're in a hurry for our kids to grow up. All of these things are going to come in their own time. Are they not? We have no control over them. We get put through trials and tribulations so that we will turn to the Lord and allow him, his work to be done in our lives, so that we may see the wonderful things he has in store for us. I think a lot of times one of the reasons we get in a hurry is because the devil discourages us and leads us to believe that we're not worthy of the gifts that God has in store for us. Well, I can tell you, people, we're not. But praise God that we serve a God that is loving, loves us no matter what, and will still give us the things that we need. He knows the desires of our heart. If we pray for God's will to be in our heart, it'll be his will in our heart. And those desires that we seek are of God's will. God delivers people who pray and seek his ways. Those people that are obedient and wait on him. When you accept in your life that you are not in control, we've talked about the peace that comes on you when you just surrender to the Lord, because you know there's nothing I can do. I have to trust in God. I could take the chance and take matters into my own hands, and it might be okay for a little while, but there are so many times that it'll happen again. But when he hears our prayers, he brings the answers. We just have to be patient enough to wait and not be in a hurry. How many people do you know drive like absolute raving lunatics with so much road rage you're like white knuckle on the dashboard? What are they in a hurry for? My sister out of Columbus. What are they in a hurry for? What, to get behind the next guy that's going to hold them up? To get behind the next guy that's going to hold them up? To get to the red light that's going to make them stop? Last night, we had the pleasure of going over and visiting a very old friend, Charlene's aunt. And her daughter-in-law was there. And we were talking about patience. Now, I think all of us here know, maybe we don't all, how does the Lord teach you patience? Aaron? Right. And I told her last night, I said, you know how God teaches you patience? He puts you in situations that call for it. That where you have to have patience to get through it. He'll keep putting you there and putting you there and putting you there and putting you there. Because the man, the Lord, he's got all the time in the world. He's not in a hurry. We are. Why do we rush life? Why do we rush through it? Why do we hurry through it? And what kind of blessings do we miss? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the word says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If we remain strong, obedient to God, righteous and walking in his ways, he'll see to our every need. It takes a while. Sometimes it takes a long while. Sometimes it takes too long of a while to us. But the Word of God says that he is never late. He'll see to our every need. I think that that's when we get in a hurry. When our fears overcome us. And we worry about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that and how we're going to pay the electric bill and how we're going to put food on the table and, you know, all these fears and burdens and responsibilities come upon us and weigh us down. And then you've got the devil in your ear whispering, he ain't going to help you this time. Remember when you cut that dude off the last time? That really wasn't a godly thing. You're not walking righteous with the Lord now, are you? You really think he's going to answer you this time? The devil knows what buttons to push. But the Word of God says that he hears our prayers and that he will deliver us. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not a doer. He is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. We are not called to just listen to the words. We're called to actually do them. We're not called to just actually listen and study the Word of God. We're called to do what it tells us to do. And if we do that, we shall be blessed. Blessed by God's mighty hand. He'll see to our every need. Therefore, all of our needs will be met. There will be no need to rush through life. There will be no need to be in such a hurry that you miss the things that he wants you to see. Living courageously in spite of the odds begins in the mind. It's a state of mind. To not allow the devil to use these things against you, to not allow the devil to use your fears against you. Thinking right always precedes acting right. You have to think right in order to be able to act that way that you're thinking. If you're thinking wrong, you're going to act wrong. It's important to continue to renew your mind. If you want to be in a hurry to do anything, be in a hurry to find time to study with and spend time at the Lord's feet. That's where you find your most blessings. That's where you receive the greatest gifts. Is when you spend time in the Lord with the Lord, when you spend time in his word. Your mind is so renewed, your faith is strengthened, your spirit is fed, you're able to feast and drink of the living water, and as the word says, that once you do that, you'll never thirst again. But it's what we're called to do, is to continue to renew our mind, draw close unto the Word of God, to take it one day at a time, to know that every day, every minute, every hour, God has a purpose. There's a reason for that minute. There's a reason for, you know, what you're doing at work. There's a reason for what you're doing at home. There's a reason for your kids screaming. There's a reason for it. You might not like the reason. Amen. But there is definitely a reason. God has a reason and a purpose for everything and all things that happen. But when you trust in the Lord and you wait His will in your life, that's when you receive knowledge and wisdom and discernment and blessings abundantly that allows you to become humbled and allows you to be grateful and merciful and allows you to testify to the happenings of the Lord in your life and lead others to Him. How could you not? We've talked and we know that we are called to be a comfort to others. That God puts us through things to be a comfort to other people. And we all know the Lord doesn't allow us to hurry through our trials. There's a lesson until we learn it. I've asked people in my life before that are in a hurry, why? Why are you in a hurry? I want to get married. I want to have a baby. Okay. Do you not think it's going to happen when God wants it to happen? Do you not think that that's going to happen? Or do you think it'll never happen? I don't know about you, but I would rather it happen in God's will and time. That way I know it's going to last. Amen. We're called to trust in God. We're called to remain faithful to Him and to allow Him to have control of our lives, to draw close unto Him and to seek His ways. And when we do, God pours out the blessings. I encourage you to take time to smell the roses, as they say. To take time to see the blessings that God has planned for you in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the word says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Receive His guidance and direction into your life. Receive His blessings into your life. Give Him the honor and the glory. I think a lot of times we're just in a hurry because we're just frustrated and we want it to be done. It's easy to get discouraged. Like I said, the devil is good at what he does. But as I read to you these verses tonight, we are called to wait patiently for the Lord. And He will incline His ear. And He will hear our cry. So as my final words to you tonight are, in times of crisis, it is important to increase our faith and to continue to trust in the Lord. Turn to Him and His ways. Trust in Him, acknowledge Him, and He will lead and guide you. Try to remain strong and faithful to God. Amen. That's the message for tonight. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? All hearts and minds are clear.